I've been thinking a lot. That's nothing new. But I was thinking a lot about Don Juan DeMarco, a character in a movie of the same name. He will have us believe that there are four questions of value in life. What is sacred? Of what is the spirit made? What is worth living for? And what is worth dying for? The answer to each of these questions, Don Juan believed, is the same. Only love. Only love. Thus his mission was clear: to seek and to spread amor wherever he went. Infamously. Last week I traveled to Tampa, Florida, spreading the love at the Minister's Institute, where a few hundred colleagues gathered and engaged in various workshops. Long days. Not warm. There were lots of choices, from fighting racism to prophetic preaching in the public square to entrepreneurial ministry, which was the track that I chose, entrepreneurial ministry. I chose this track because it's clear that ministry and religion in general are changing like never before in history. And per usual, I want us to be on the leading edge of this changing curve. There was some preparation for the Institute, lots of reading, so that when we arrived, we could hit the ground running. We began the week mid-sentence, and we traveled throughout the week wondering, brainstorming, prototyping concepts, all to help us to better understand and imagine how we feel called, a religious word for what is our mission. What is that one idea, that story, that we focus on, that is ours to tell? It's well known in ministry circles, and I might be speaking out of school here, to say that ministers have one important message that they share in a myriad of ways throughout their careers, over and over and over again. And yet they share them slightly different each week, hopefully. How do we tell our story, and what might be our impact on the world? The process that we used last week was called design thinking. Some of you engineers and designers may know of it. This design thinking is a practice that is done very fast with little thinking, which is somewhat incongruent. Then the team slows down in the process long enough to be somewhat intentional. But then they speed up again in the prototyping phase, working the idea in a tangible way but quickly, which apparently helps us to get valuable feedback during the design process. Does anybody know this design thinking process? Yeah, I figured, the geeks among us. I was well acquainted with this process as we used it during my high-tech development days. The best ideas were uncovered when we were really not thinking deeply about them. I remember reading somewhere that the same was true of Albert Einstein, who would often uncover intellectual gems in the shower. Apparently, this is called shower thinking. Anyway, as part of last week's prototyping process, the leaders of the session broke us up into groups. There were five people in each group armed with, prepare yourself, 20 pieces of uncooked spaghetti, 1 yard of yarn, 1 yard of tape, with only one rule: to create the tallest tower. We collaborated amongst ourselves, the members of our team, and watched as others were collaborating with their teams, and some of them began their process. It was really quite fascinating, actually. Began with one group tying yarn from a suspended ceiling frame. My group went outside, followed by a bunch of other folks. Everybody was sort of watching what the other people were doing. I was looking up into a tree, and I was like, oh, we could go up there and tie the string and whatever, da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, as I was talking to my team members about the possibility, somebody else ran and climbed up the tree. I was a little put off. They staked my claim. Then another group, who had banded together with another group, so there were two groups, 10 people in all, which gave them more resources, ran and climbed up the other tree. We continued to brainstorm. What would be the design that would be different and yet still get the point across? What came to the place is that we decided to create a tower that was, instead of being vertical in length, to be horizontal in length. Thus, we wouldn't be hampered by gravity. Also, what if we, the members of the group, created a human tower, one person above another, holding the feet of the person above them? We would be exemplifying true teamwork. So we were thinking out of the box a little bit. We were committed to the idea, but we didn't do anything. We just sort of stood there and chatted, and everybody else was working really hard to climb trees and tie their stuff. And we waited for everyone else to finish, and then we put our plan into place. Everybody laid down on the ground, one person and above the other. And then I ran down the line putting down all the spaghetti, which we had taped conveniently together, and then the line of yarn. And then, oh, did I mention there was a marshmallow? No, maybe not. Anyways, put the marshmallow on the very top. And so we all laid down, and then I laid down, and I held onto the string, and someone hung onto my feet. And we were by far the tallest tower, horizontally. So it was. We were like 40-plus feet in length. When the other teams realized what we were doing, they pretty much flipped out. And I say that, I mean, here we are, a bunch of ministers, and but they interpreted the rules different than we did. They believed that we didn't participate in it with the right process in mind because, for example, they believed that even though it wasn't stated, the structure should be vertical. I explained that there was no horizontal constraint on the design and offered that we should all think outside the box and be willing to change our perspectives in order to be innovative. There was a lot of guffaws at that. But I never realized how competitive ministers could actually be. I will say that lots of people were taking pictures of our tower. What I learned last week, besides the fact that ministers are so competitive, was that in order to thrive in the coming years, we need each one of us to think outside of the box and be willing to change our perspective in order to be innovative and, frankly, to remain relevant. The most important realization of all is that we need to have an idea, a concept, a story that we're working on and want to share. We need to be thinking about it all of the time, our story, our concept, our idea. We need to be evolving it and present it in everything that we do. And it can change, just like we do. So I'm wondering, how many of us have an idea, a life's mission, or a story that we hold as part of our wisdom, our piece of the puzzle, per se? Don't be shy. It's okay. If you don't have one, how many people are working on something, but they're not there yet? Right? I think we're all kind of working on it. And the people that are done, keep working on it. Just saying. When I first entered into ministry, my story evolved from an experience that I had in a cave in Tintagel, England. That lesson was about facing into fear and realizing for what it is, a construct of the mind that encourages us to play it safe. Fear can and does hold us back from realizing our innate courage. Those who take risks, who are courageous, are the ones who truly evolve and thrive. My wisdom has evolved over the years and exists now in the closing words that I sometimes share with you. They may sound familiar. I bid you to go in peace, speak your truth in love, give thanks each and every day, live each day as if it were your first or your last, with deep wonder and an open heart and mind. Above all else, let your faith, not your fear, be your guide. And then I started wondering, maybe a better word instead of faith might be courage. Let's see how it reads. Above all else, let your courage, not your fear, be your guide. There are the highlights of my story that I share over and over in different ways with you and with others. They frame my life's mission. To live fully into this life, uncovering the jewels and sharing them far and wide. That's my mission. What is yours? What is that one message or wisdom that you need to share outside of your own mind in this community and the larger world? Let's just take some time right now to share what we might be, what we might think is our idea, what your story could be or is, or what you're working towards and what your mission might be. And it can be like a word. It can be like three words. It could be a whole sentence. So I just want to open it up. What is our mission? Your mission?
Music.
Smile.
Healing.
Balance.
Writing.
Intentment.
Contentment.
Writing.
A sense of purpose.
Jeff.
Helping individuals and communities and ultimately the world to achieve its full potential.
Great. Achieve full potential. Leave a better world for our children than what we found.
Going forward even when we're afraid. Because I don't think it's the absence of fear. I think courage is going forward even when we're afraid.
In spite of. Yeah. That going forward in spite of fear. And what were you saying over here?
Usefulness.
Fully present.
Fully present.
Strength.
Believing in yourself and awareness.
Optimism.
What did you say?
Optimism.
It was you. I heard that voice. Optimism.
Laughter.
I can vote for that one. So when you think of those words, what's the next step? How do you unpack that one word like optimism and think, optimism is about what my life is? What do you do then? That's what design thinking does. It has you prototype what optimism looks like for you and how you're willing to share that with the world. How are we willing to share that? Action.
Help others feel confident.
Just showing up. Right? If you just show up, it's a huge thing for people. Like those marches, every individual person goes. And it's not about the individual person, but when you look at those photo or aerial shots, you are blown away by the number of people that gather. It's about all of us showing up. During my first year of ministry at First Parish, we did some strategic thinking as a congregation. Do you guys remember that? It helped us to uncover what was important and to expose the narratives and goals that we each carry. A lot of thoughts were shared, written down on big easel paper. Ideas such as being out in the world. Sound familiar? Be a growing community, high energy, a beacon of meaning, lots of programs, fewer committees. Front doors open to the community, solar collectors on the south-facing roof, woo! Vibrant, diverse, inclusive, kind, nurturing of kindred spirits, happy, fun-filled times that create meaningful lives. 100 children in religious exploration. We did the count to report to the UUA last week. We have 50 kids in RE. We're halfway to our goal. Lead Sudbury and beyond in a plan to address climate change. A nurturing of kindred spirits. A crackle of energy in the air. The collective firing of neurons and beating of hearts well connected. Those were your thoughts. The mission statement that we wrote, cultivated at that time, is good. And in reading it again for this sermon and with renewed eyes, I'm going to share it with you. We are First Parish of Sudbury, a diverse and welcoming community of spiritual seekers. We strive to learn together and support one another as we celebrate life's important moments and serve the larger community. True, right? True. I think it was good work at the time, but I wonder, which is more inspirational? The disparate thoughts or the finely crafted mission statement? Which one? Is it the mission statement that inspires you, or is it the people's individual call? It's the individuals, right? There's something about those individual thoughts that create the energy. And yet, I saw this last week. We kept trying to get to a finished product. And the truth is, there is no finished product. There's no wrapping paper. There's no bow. We're a mess. We're in progress. We're a work together. And I kind of like it. What I think might be more important than a mission statement is our collective values and wisdom, not done up nice and neat, but ever evolving, not wrapped up in a crafted statement with a bow, but messy and energetic. The sharing of our collective truth spoken aloud. How many of us take the chance to speak it aloud? Chad, I love him. It's true. This month's theme is all about love. And we all know how I feel about love. Let me clarify, more than the one kind of love that Don Juan aspired to, but all the flavors of love in the box. Love of a parent for a child, love from a child to a parent, love for a friend, for a partner or spouse, love of a thing or a practice, love from a parent to a bird or a dog or a guinea pig or cat, ferret, snake or rat, turtle, add your own. We love in all sorts of ways, and like Don Juan, I believe that love informs and inspires us as a part of our story. Love is the catalyst and the mix. Love is the spirit that inspires and motivates us. All we need, as the Beatles so succinctly shared, is love. As we move forward further into this new year, resisting and persisting as we do, let us also find the courage to share our story in spite of our fear. Dare I say, share our teaching with all whom we come in contact with. Let's think outside of our proverbial box with regard to this meeting house represents and what it represents to this town of Sudbury and beyond, what values we share and hold on high, what our goals are and concepts, and how do we share them now, and how do we want to evolve and personify our values in our actions moving forward. Let us dare. Let us be courageous enough to ask ourselves and one another each and every day, what is sacred? Of what is inspiration made? What is worth living for? And what is worth dying for? These are the questions that will help us to survive and thrive as we endeavor towards the future. I invite us to take a few moments in silent reflection and prayer.